Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The housing market may be cooling off due to a rise in mortgage interest rates, but homes are still out of reach for many people in the Sacramento area, and rents are really no better, higher than the year prior. Housing affordability is a widespread issue that breaks down unevenly, affecting communities of color the most. A new poll published this week by Valley Vision in partnership with CAP Radio found nearly 9 in 10 Black residents are concerned about the cost of housing in the Sacramento region, a level higher than any other racial or ethnic group. And policy experts aren't surprised. CAP Radio reporter Chris Nichols covers affordable housing and homelessness and joins us this morning to discuss the findings and some solutions. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, Vicky. It's good to be with you.
Good to have you. We've partnered with Valley Vision multiple times. They actually hosted their first ever livability summit yesterday at Sac State, which I took part of, and they released these findings from this latest poll. But remind our listeners what the survey looks at.
Well, this is a quality of life survey, and it was conducted from mid-June through mid-July, again, by Valley Vision and also by Sacramento State's Institute for Social Research. And it polled about 3,000 people from around the region, Sacramento, Yolo, El Dorado, Placer, Yuba, and Sutter counties. And it looked at people's views on affordability, on job satisfaction, education, crime, and of course, the main topic we'll talk about this morning, the cost of housing.
Right. Evans Schmidt, who is Valley Vision CEO, she joined us on Insight last week and talked about how the cost of housing as well as homelessness were the top two concerns in the survey. But we really just kind of focused on it as more of a headline because they weren't published yet, these findings. Now that you were actually able to dive in, what did you learn about how different racial and ethnic groups were impacted and how they responded when asked about these topics?
Well, when we looked at it a little closer, we found that Black residents are the most concerned about the cost of housing in the Sacramento region. And as you mentioned earlier, nearly 9 of every 10 Black respondents, or 86%, said they are worried about housing costs. And that's much higher than that 68% of all people in the survey who said they're concerned, which of course in itself is a pretty high figure. Among other groups, about 3/4 of Latinos and Asian American and Pacific Islanders listed the cost of housing as a top concern, and about 63% of white respondents did the same.
Did the survey just focus on if there was a concern or a worry about housing costs, or were there other questions that explored the concerns over cost of housing?
It had some related questions. One of the other poll questions asked, how well are you currently able to afford your rent or mortgage? And I think the results from this one show that the cost of housing is not just a concern for Black residents, it's something even greater. It found when compared with the overall population, Black residents are 3 times as likely to say they cannot currently afford their rent or mortgage. And there are similar findings when it comes to being able to currently afford enough food, healthcare, and daycare.
You spoke with policy experts who really like live and breathe affordability and the issues surrounding it in Sacramento about these findings. What did they say about them?
They pointed out that Black residents are not only dealing with Sacramento's record-breaking housing costs, the costs that we all are experiencing, but also the shortage of affordable housing. And they've also experienced decades of discriminatory housing practices. Here is Kendra Lewis. She directs the Sacramento Housing Alliance, which promotes affordable housing.
I'm not surprised. You know, historically, the Black community has really experienced living under a housing crisis for generations. And by that, I mean, it's, you know, redlining, it's rent discrimination, it's predatory lending with high interest loans. In so many aspects of Black American life and locally, there is a constant concern about housing. And I would say Sacramento, it is probably at 85%, because Sacramento for many was affordable. And now I think the concern is, where do I go if I cannot pay and make this money, make the amount of money that is necessary. Where do we go now?
Yeah, I mean, Chris, we really don't have to go that far back into the past to go back to a Sacramento that was considered affordable when it came to buying a home or even just renting an apartment. I moved here in 2016, and it is exponentially less affordable and different today. And that's only 6 years later. So that clearly isn't the case anymore for a lot of people. What do the current numbers show when it comes to housing costs?
Well, the numbers show that things have changed, just as you outline. Recently, home prices, they have leveled off. They've even dropped a little bit in some places as mortgage rates have climbed. But of course, you know, climbing mortgage rates mean that you're paying more for your mortgage every month if you're a new home buyer. But home prices, they're still really high compared with just a few years ago. In Sacramento, the median sales price for a home was $482,000 in August, again, slightly lower than this spring, but still an increase of about $150,000 compared with just 3 years ago. And that's according to the real estate website Redfin.
Wow, $150,000 compared to like 2019. I mean, let's talk about rents. I mean, they're not really any better. I mean, they've gone up during the same time period too, right?
They have. I mean, they've gone up dramatically. And the median rent in Sacramento, this was kind of surprising to me, but it was more than $2,700 in August. And that's up 8% compared with the same time the year before.
And that makes it so hard to save if you want to buy a home. Going back to one of the discriminatory housing practices that were cited by Lewis, you know, we just heard from her a moment ago. She talked about redlining that is really contributing to housing insecurity among Black residents. Can you explain more about the impact of that policy?
Right. Well, to learn more about that specific policy, how it worked in the 20th century, I spoke with Flojean Kofor. She's Senior Director of Policy with Public Health Advocates. That's a Davis-based group that advocates for policies to improve public health.
Redlining was the Federal Housing Authority's policy from 1934 to 1968, wherein they gave neighborhoods ratings. And the ratings were either green, which was considered the best, or blue, which was considered to be, you know, like slightly below the green. Yellow was definitely declining, and redlining, red was the worst. And that's where the term redlining comes from. And so neighborhoods were given this categorization based entirely on who lived in the community and who they wanted to live in communities. So green line communities were predominantly white, and red line communities were predominantly Black or other people of color groups that like Indigenous folks and sometimes even a large proportion of Latinos. And so what ends up happening is in those red line communities, the federal government said, we don't want you to invest in businesses. We won't back mortgages. We will just not invest at all in those communities.
And, you know, I think that's some of the history that sort of informs what these results are showing us. And just to put a fine point on it, under this practice that was around for decades, you know, banks denied loans to people in these red line neighborhoods, insurance providers restricted services. So this all led to lower levels of home ownership among Black families. And as we know, home ownership, it's among the primary ways that families pass along wealth from one generation to the next.
Yeah. I mean, we're learning just how these practices have resulted in housing insecurity. What are some of the solutions that are taking place that Lewis and Kofor are offering to really ease this crisis, especially when it comes to Black residents in the Sacramento region?
Well, Lewis with the Sacramento Housing Alliance, she says that the best way to address these concerns is to simply build more affordable housing. And there are projects being built. For example, I reported last week on a new 150-unit senior affordable housing complex called the Wong Center Senior Apartments. That's under construction in downtown Sacramento. Cap Radio also reported on the 53-unit Lavender Courtyard that opened recently, not too far from the governor's mansion downtown. So there's some examples out there.
Okay. I mean, that's good. I mean, that's a step in the right direction, but we're talking about, you know, a little over 200 units. What actual impact will this have on the overall need for affordable housing? Because isn't the shortage in the tens of thousands of units?
It is. I think in the big picture, you know, projects like that, they're going to have a limited impact. You know, Sacramento County's overall shortage, you're right, it's really severe. It's about 60,000 affordable housing units that are needed for the region's lowest income residents. That's according to the California Housing Partnership. But, you know, what I found really interesting speaking with Kendra Lewis from the Housing Alliance, she mentioned that NIMBYism, the pushback from organized neighborhood groups that take this not in my backyard approach, she says that's among the most powerful forces right now stopping affordable housing. And here is Lewis on that topic.
We have to dig really deep. I hear at the meetings, oh, we need more parking space. You know, I hear excuses of reasoning, you know, let's just leave this a park. Let's keep this empty. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think we have to really highlight that. And I know the state is really watching the cities that are, you know, this is happening to because we're in crisis. Racism and discrimination has no place for the crisis that we're in.
And, you know, Lewis mentioned that her group is even looking to study the effects of community groups, how many projects are shut down year after year through NIMBYism. Kofor with Public Health Advocates, she also weighed in on that topic. She says that, you know, while blocking affordable housing might not be overtly racist, it still has a disproportionate effect on people of color.
We have changed from saying, I don't want to live around Black people, to making it acceptable to say, I don't want to live around poor people. Because the only thing we've changed is we've just taken our overtly racist language out, but we're still talking about the same people. Because historically, we have decided who is disproportionately in the underclass in America. We just don't talk about it now. So we can't say, I don't want to live around Black people, because everybody would say that sounds terrible. So instead we say, you know, renters don't take as good care of things as homeowners do. And that's a way to not mention race, but essentially to be able to say, I don't want to live around poor people.
Did Kofor have any policy suggestions about how to address this?
She did. Just like Lewis, she says that governments must build more affordable housing. But also to right these historic wrongs, she made the point that the solutions need to be equitable so that the people who were harmed can actually catch up.
So if you have communities where people have not historically been able to buy homes, then we need to concentrate our efforts for home ownership in those communities and put resources there. They can't be blanket, because if you give everybody access to it, you're going to keep seeing the same patterns that we've seen before.
You know, Kofor went on to say that not all of the discriminatory policies are so far in the past. For example, she noted that the Black community was disproportionately targeted by predatory mortgage lenders during the Great Recession, which is just over a decade ago.
Chris, thank you so much for sharing your reporting and breaking down the findings of the Valley Vision poll.
Thank you, Vicky.
And that is CAP Radio reporter Chris Nichols. You can find Chris's story and more coverage of the Valley Vision survey at capradio.org, as well as our Insight page. Up next, after multiple deadly shootings in downtown Sacramento this year, the city is creating a new position to work with businesses and with the goal of creating an environment that is safe. We'll meet the new nighttime economy manager. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.